roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
What is up, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goz checking in again. It's time for Junkie Radio here on Sportscaster. It is November 9th. Hope you all had a pleasant weekend, and it doesn't stop. We're going to recap some events that took place, and we're going to look forward to some events that are about to take place. Of course, we're going to cover the latest news, and then we also have a guest for you, Kevin Holland, UFC middleweight, who the week before came off a win over Charlie Ontiveros. And this week went by so fast, I had to convince myself that he didn't slam Charlie Ontiveros down this past Saturday. It was actually a week ago on Halloween, because it was such a whirlwind week with the election and all. But we're going to talk to him, and he's already got another fight. He's going to be filling in for Darren Till. He's fighting Jack Hermanson, the Joker. And this is December 5th at, I believe it's UFC Fight Night 185. Good news on that, by the way. I think we're getting away from ESPN Plus and calling it, you know, Hermanson versus Till. I think we're going to go with an actual numbered series that'll make it easier for all of you, especially me. But I think it's UFC Fight Night 185. It's December 5th. That I know. So Kevin Holland just stays busy, man. It's going to be great catching up with him. Got a couple shout outs as well. So buckle up, Junkie Nation. It's MMA Junkie Radio on a Monday, November 9th.
Hola amigos, Danny Segura dropping in. Just wanted to let you know about MMA Junkie's latest podcast. It's Hablemos MMA, a weekly Spanish language show dedicated to all things professional fighting. Each Monday, we recap the major events from the weekend, plus we analyze the week's biggest news. We also bring you exclusive interviews with the best fighters, coaches, and experts in the Hispanic and Latin American scene. You can find Hablemos MMA every Monday morning on your favorite podcasting platform. Suscríbete y nos hablamos pronto. Chao.
Get right into it. This past weekend, we had the UFC. We're going to go in reverse order. Last time, we went Bellator, won championship, and UFC. This time, we're going to go UFC, which took place on Saturday, and then we'll talk about some of the other results from one championship in Bellator. Glover Teixeira defeated Thiago Santos in the main event this past Saturday. He got a submission rear naked choke in round three in a fight that was so bizarre, but it had almost everything that I want in an MMA fight. Both guys had a chance to win. Both guys, you know, I guess, unleashed a little bit of their offense, way more on the Glover Teixeira side. But whenever Santos did put it on Teixeira, he hurt him. He wobbled him in round one before Teixeira was finally able to get a hold of the guy. And then he got him once in round three as well before Teixeira was ever able to get a hold of him and then finish him. But Goz, what a fun fight. And how about the fact that it was one of those statement wins that might actually put him back in title talk?
Well, that's what makes everything so weird, that they would announce that they want to do that fight before this fight even took place. I really don't know. Santos, after the fight, kind of talked about how he just felt like that wasn't him. He wasn't there. But he had a lot of moments. He did a lot of Thiago Santos type things. You know, he hurt Glover really bad.
Oh, yeah.
Which now almost doesn't make much sense, because a lot of guys seem like they've hurt Glover, and it's just putting him away that's so difficult. So the only thing I can maybe point to was maybe in the grappling department, Santos didn't feel like he was there. But everything else, he was doing things that we're used to seeing him do in other fights. It's just Glover's tough as hell.
Yeah. So, you know how it is, man. When they talk after fights, I think everything's just a blur. And picture if you've ever gotten in a car accident or maybe athletic performance where you just literally are working off of adrenaline and maybe you took a knock. You just don't remember a few things. But Thiago Santos put it on Glover Teixeira. The only thing I can think of is if pre-fight they told him, if you hurt him, careful when you follow him to the ground, which I don't think so. A lot of fighters feel like when someone's hurt, even if it's a top jiu-jitsu guy, you usually still follow them and just finish them because they're hurt. Away every once in a while, you'll see somebody just like, nope, I ain't having it. Get back up. But it looks like this might be one of those for anyone fighting Glover Teixeira. If you are on the brink of finishing him, you may just want to create the space, force him to stand up. He'll look even more wobbled, which means the referee will probably have a quick trigger finger. And then you just try and put it on him because I'm telling you, it happened, you know, both times, round one and round three. Because in round three, when Thiago had just come off a 10-8 round in round two, you know, you had to figure that he was probably knowing, okay, I'm down on the scorecards. I got to strike. I got to finish this guy. And he put it on Teixeira. But, I mean, Teixeira is just incredible, dude. 41 years of age, 5-fight winning streak, good fighters he's beaten. And now he may break up those plans that they made last week of Israel Adesanya versus Jan Blachowicz. Blachowicz is into it. Dana White's into it. And you nailed it, Goz. Why didn't they just wait 1 week? I think what Dana White may have wanted to do, I mean, it sounds like the plans were certain. We were talking to Izzy, and it sounded, you know, he's going forward with it. But the only thing I can think of is could he just have gotten ahead of himself in, you know, how he negotiates through the media by putting narratives out there? Mm-hmm. And by saying, well, it doesn't sound like Robert Whittaker's interested. We may have to go with Izzy versus Blachowicz. He almost would have been safe with that during the week, you know. Now, maybe on Izzy's front, because he was here all week coaching his partner, Carlos Ulberg, who got a contract at Dana White Contender Series. Maybe they just ran into each other so much that Izzy said, what are we doing? What are we doing, you know? And you know Dana loves it when a fighter gets active and vocal and wants to throw down. So I don't know what they're going to do, man.
Well, it's one of those fights that just made sense. You know, you had a clear and cut picture of what you wanted to happen in that division, and it was right there. I mean, we really didn't talk too much about it because there was no need to. You had two guys that whoever won that fight deserved a title fight. It made sense. So it was just kind of odd, but we're in this strange little era, which, you know, almost at this point, I almost want to get away from calling it an era where they just try and make these big fights, because that just looks like it's business going forward. I think that's just what they want to do, because to take a guy like Israel Adesanya out, make him fight a light heavyweight, and then break up a number one contender's fight for the longest time that we just all felt like deserved to have that spotlight, none of it really made much sense. And I don't know how you deny Glover Teixeira a title shot after that win. I mean, granted, he could still wait and get it, but how is that fair?
But he's 41, and he's a respected veteran who's put in work for your company for a long time. He just took out a guy who took the previous champ to a split decision, the guy that we refer to, some of us, as the GOAT, John Jones. He came back from a brutal knee injury, you know, injuries, I should say. I remember him telling us at Extreme Couture, like there was four ligaments in one knee, and then I think the other one had a slight tear. So he was jacked up. So that's a big win for Glover Teixeira. He's got options with Israel Adesanya, you know. And, you know, knowing Dana White, he is always handling business. Couldn't you conceivably believe that during the week Jones said, hey, you know, if Glover wins or Thiago wins or whatever, and they want to run with Jan, I'm open to dropping a 205 and fighting Izzy now. You mean, that doesn't seem impossible, right? And so Dana's like, you know, like that would be pretty big. Like there's options is what I'm talking about. And with Dana, it's tough to take him at face value because, you know, like we want to believe that he sat there as the president of a sports league and said, wow, there's a guy that's anointed as the number one contender. He's going to fight our champion. That's the way it should be. You know, he's not thinking that. He's just thinking of crazy fights that can make the company money. And if it happens to tick all the boxes of it being a number one contender or a one versus a two, or they both have great records, even better. It's the gravy. It's the gravy on your turkey and mashed potatoes and your ham. But for the most part, I think he kind of just likes prize fighting, you know, whatever's dealt to him. He looks at his hand and then he just plays his hand.
I'm okay with that. It's just you can only do it so long. There's only so many times you can pull that rabbit out of a hat. And it just seems like every month or so we're trying to do something like this that just it's got to be upsetting to the guys underneath, the guys that are putting in the work, the guys that any job you have, wherever you work, there has to be some sort of recipe. If I do A plus B, that'll put me in line for this raise or a promotion. There's something that you have to be working for. And for that just to disappear for a guy just really sucks. I mean, I get it. Every now and again, there's a special fight that has to happen. But there wasn't one person on planet Earth that was walking around weeks ago going, what if we got Israel Adesanya and matched him against Jan Blachowicz? Nobody was saying that. It's just not realistic.
So here's what I think happens, goes. You're right. It causes confusion and frustration for all the contenders that are charging forward, especially the ones that do it right. They fight, they go home, they train, they come back, they fight, they go home, they train. They never disappoint the UFC. Occasionally that does happen. But I think because the UFC has this way of taking care of their guys somewhere in your journey, because to become a contender, you usually have to have a minimum of, you can only think of like Brock Lesnar, Ronda Rousey, a few of them that were able to just do this quick catapult, you know, to superstardom. But the most, it's even Conor McGregor, the most it is a pace that you go through, you know. I remember Conor fought Max Holloway and Dennis Seaver and I think Max Marcus Brimage. I mean, there was a progression until he finally got to Aldo. And along the way, the UFC takes care of you. Sometimes it's with money. Sometimes it's with that quick matchup. Sometimes it's with that matchup in your hometown. Sometimes it's, I think I already said, you know, like a quick matchup or whatever, or you know, a bonus that's even outside of the 50 grand that's given out. A surgery that they go above and beyond, you know, getting you the best. And so the fighter can bitch and moan, but they also know it's just part of the journey of they've scratched my back. It looks like I'm going to have to scratch theirs. They're under a contract. What are they going to do? They've also seen the precedents of Tito Ortiz, Randy Couture, BJ Penn, great fighters that have fallen out with the UFC, basically lost time, and some were able to circle back. Even Jorge Masvidal recently, remember he said, I'm not fighting until you pay me my money. And they go, all right, we're going to go with Gilbert Burns. And he went, all right, cool. And then he sat back, and then Gilbert Burns had COVID, and then next thing you know, they're like, hey, Jorge, you're not pissed, right? We got that money you were looking for. Jorge's like, cha-ching, cool. He didn't get his proper camp. He got his money. You know, I mean, like I say, it's just this song and dance that I guess I'm used to now. The perfect scenario just doesn't seem to creep up, but we'll see how all this plays out. You know, the fighters, no matter what, they're going to accept it. I don't know that a fighter has, you know, I would be shocked if Dana said, guess what? It's Glover versus Jan. And then Izzy went back to Dana and convinced them that it's Izzy again. I don't think I've seen too much of that off the top of my head. It's usually like everyone just moves on.
Mm-hmm. But what would be the timetable for all this?
Good question. All right. So
that's almost just as important.
I could see Blachowicz and Teixeira. They're already filling out the January 23rd card, which sounded like McGregor Poirier at one point. That was when it was just a fight, a contender fight. Now it could be for the UFC's vacant lightweight title. Although Khabib's rumored to still be hanging around. So I guess they're going to start filling up a February show and a March show. So I could say, I could see February or March. Glover did get knocked around. Glover said he thinks he may have a broken bone in his face. So I don't know if that's like an orbital or not. If it is, then maybe that might cost him his shot. If Dana can pounce on Izzy and Jan in February and Glover's not ready to go till late spring or summer, then there's a possibility. If Glover says, oh, it's not, it's just a heavy bruise or whatever, it's the swelling's going down, and Whitaker says, all right, you know, I'll get one more fight in, let's do this, and I could see him pairing up Izzy and Whitaker and Jan and Glover and then seeing what comes out of that. That's what I'm saying. There's just endless possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, all right. You know, Thiago Santos will still be a player at 205. Israel Adesanya will have a sick fight, whatever it is, Jones, Blachowicz, or Whitaker. I guess Whitaker excites him the least, I should say. And I think Jones and Adesanya is that just has to be done in a stadium. I'm seeing more fans in stadiums now, guys, and I just think that's a strong possibility for this summer. If we all just cool our heels, one more round of fights each, you'll have your fight in the stadium.
Here in Las Vegas, our stadium, Allegiant Stadium, where the Raiders play, they've okayed 2,000 fans for UNLV football games. And each one of those games, they've had two. They've sold all 2,000. And I swear to you, George, it looks like if somebody sneezed in the stadium and those were the fans. Like, it looks like there's hardly anyone there. And there's 2,000 people there. That's how big stadiums are, you know, compared to arenas. I gotta wait until it's at least, I would imagine 10 maybe would look somewhat decent. But stadium, I mean, you want to fill that thing up.
Would it be nicer than the Apex? The Apex, they can kind of hide that there's no fans there. You almost forget about it because of the lighting. You know what I mean? The way it's staged, there's such a big spotlight on the two fighters. I mean, the walkout gives it away. There's no one there. When, you know, walking in and walking out, you just see a couple media, a few people that are working here and there. A stadium, I think it would be more glaring, but who knows? That is a little bit of revenue coming through the door.
Maybe like the Palms, or I think it would come off kind of like the old WEC shows.
It's got a roof, though. Remember, the roof makes it different for CDC, whereas the stadium, they can still open it.
Because
we're talking next July, right? Or are we talking next spring, probably?
When it's hotter.
Yeah. We'll see. Maybe we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. Let's go over the rest of the card. Andre Arlovsky, still fighting, still ticking. He defeated Tanner Boser. He did what he had to do. I'm not going to lie to you and say it was an exciting fight. Both guys were just looking to counter. Both guys had limited opportunities, but I think Arlovsky made more of the adjustment of throwing strikes when he needed to, especially some heavier strikes. And Boser just kept waiting for his opportunity that never showed up. I mean, yeah, he exploded here and there, but nothing like Arlovsky did. Arlovsky, I mean, of the two, Arlovsky was just busier. I thought he was a crafty veteran, and he deserved to get his hand raised. So yeah, good on him.
When Boser watches that fight, though, he's going to kick himself, because I think he had moments where he could have put more pressure, he could have thrown more, and we've seen Andre can be hurt in fights, but you could see little by little Andre's confidence build up until he knew really Tanner Boser just needed to explode, and he wasn't going to do it. And Andre didn't fear him at all. So I kind of, in a way, don't blame Andre very much. You know, he's not going to fight for a title, I don't think.
No, but
he can bring together some nice little paychecks here at the end of his career.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, he would have to – he's won four of his last five. He's still Andre Arlovsky, but he would have to be on a card. I'll give you an example. Miocic versus Ngannou, and let's say Andre happens to be fighting Derek Lewis or Volkov or someone. And one of the two, I guess we'll say Ngannou, can't make it on fight week. Maybe Dana says, hey, he's a former champion. He's won 4 of 5. He stepped up when we asked him to, you know, I mean, I could see him maybe doing that. I don't know. I think Andre's better suited to just keep fighting and winning, and hopefully there's one more shot. But I don't think he wakes up dreaming to be a world champion. I think he's just probably a veteran who knows that these are the years where you make the bigger checks, and if I can stay busy and stay healthy, I'll just continue grinding those out.
But in his mind, I think he is going to have a version of a championship fight coming up. Whatever his last fight is, I think he's going to have that type of fight where he fights an Alistair Overeem or someone like that, you know? I think that's going to be like
one of those names. If he can be one of those names, then all of a sudden now 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 6 coming off on the heels of something like that, he may just become a contender and not be at the mercy of circumstances, unfortunate circumstances on a fight week. You know what I mean?
It could be.
All right, I'm going to throw out 3 more for the main card. And don't forget, folks, Kevin Holland is coming up in about 10 minutes. UFC middleweight, we'll talk to him. Hani Barsalos defeated Khalid Taha. Giga Chikadze defeated Jamie Simmons. And Jan Jonan defeated Claudia Gadelha. All 3 of those winners, right? Bantamweight, featherweight, and women's strawweight, all have pretty decent resumes. They've been a little bit more on the quiet side, but I think they're ready for some big contender name fights. You know what I mean? But what did you think of those 3?
Well, I think Barcelos probably had the better of the 3 performances, just all around the showcase of talent. I think they're all ready to take that next step, like you said. But for me, Barcelos really, really stood out. And Giga's kind of going through that thing that happened early on with Israel Adesanya, where it's like we see these moments of brilliance, but we just don't know what's going to happen. Like if you throw him in there with just a decorated wrestler, is he going to get ragdolled? There's still like question marks, but he's doing everything he can with what he has. And so far it's been pretty impressive.
Yeah, no doubt. Giga's just been busy and he's winning. And man, he does pretty good traffic for us. Just give you a lift under the hood there. He has some popularity. He's from Georgia, the country of Georgia. So he probably has a good fan base there. And luckily, they're, following him on the Junkie app and on the Junkie website. That's right. We got a free app. Check it out. All tablets, all smartphones. MMA Junkie app is free. Download it. It's got all the information you want. Schedules, results, news, links to the radio show, everything. Continuing on here, the undercard. I'll go through this a little bit quicker. That was the main card that I gave you. The prelims were Trevin Giles defeated Bevan Lewis. Alexander Romanov defeated Marcos Rogério de Lima. Darren Elkins defeated Luis Eduardo Garagori. Max Griffin defeated Ramiz Brahimaj. And Gustavo Lopez defeated Anthony Berchak. Now, Lopez versus Berchak was like, really? Us walking into Extreme Couture and just seeing him go harder on a Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see Anthony Berchak back. I'm happy for Gustavo Lopez because, you know, that the first fight for him didn't really happen in the greatest conditions. And the second one, opponent change, but it's nice to be able to say that a guy that put in so much work in a gym, helping preparing guy, being competitive with guys in the gym that have almost won world titles, for him to finally get his moment and at the very least say that he's won a title over at Combate Americas and then to say he got a victory in the octagon. It's pretty big. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, most definitely. Also, Max Griffin and Ramiz Brahimaj was stopped because of a doctor stoppage. But in short, Brahimaj's ear almost fell off due to I don't want to say it was an elbow because it kind of looked like it, but it looked like the forearm. He sliced him with the forearm as he threw that shot against his head. That was pretty gruesome.
Yeah, just that whole cauliflower part of that ear was just ready to come right off. You think of Sakuraba had a really bad one. It was a female one too, wasn't there?
Yes, Leslie Smith. Yeah.
Yeah.
In Mexico. I think Kadzinger did that too, or who was it? I can't remember, but I remember Leslie Smith was the recipient. She wanted to continue.
Mm-hmm.
What were you say?
I was going to say, the few times that I've actually seen fighters almost act like when, you know, when a grown man sees a snake or and they just kind of get real, it's when they're getting their ears drained. Cauliflower, like that area, if it's, if that hasn't calcified, oh my God. I mean, it's unbearable pain from what I hear.
Yeah. Wow, it was pretty bad, man. Darren Elkins did what he does. He smothers and just punishes you. Good for him. He's been doing this for a long time as well. Alexander Romanov defeated he reminds me of old school Cole Conrad from Bellator, just a big dude, a big polar bear that wants to take you down and beat the shit out of you, you know. He's showing a lot of promise. Trevin Giles and Bevan Lewis I was expecting a little bit more, if I'm being honest. Bevan Lewis, who was it? Uriah Hall that tuned him up. By the way, he was doing good in that fight. But Uriah Hall got him, and he seems a little gun-shy since then. So, yeah. Anyway, that's the prelims. If you're wondering about Brendan Allen and Ian Heinsch, that fight was canceled, I think, day of or the day before. So, hopefully they put that thing together again. Positive COVID test involving Heinisch. That means it could have been Heinisch or someone on his team. The card took some hits, and, you know, started off with, I remember Arnold Allen and Jeremy Stevens were on it too. But slowly but surely, fights were taken off, or like Ghost said, there was some late removals. Felipe Corrales was originally supposed to fight Gustavo Lopez, and Anthony Berchek got in late notice. So the $50,000 bonuses went to Hani Barcelos and Khalid Taha for fight of the night. Performance of the night went to Giga Chikadze and Alexander Romanov. Griffin might have a gripe. I imagine Gustavo Lopez maybe, hey, I got to finish. What about me? Maybe even Glover Teixeira. That was quite a battle, you know. That maybe even those guys might have could bitch for fight of the night, but that's just what the UFC decided, so that's that. This weekend, of course, more UFC headed your way. It was called Makhachev versus Dos Santos. I don't know what it's going to be called now. It's UFC Fight Night 183. I don't know. I think as of now, Al Hassan and Chaos Williams, Julian Marquez and Safarov, Eric Anders and Antonio Arroyo are at the top of the bill on the main card. I don't know what they're going to wind up goes. That one hurt that card.
It devastated that card. And when you look at the options that are left, there really are not. It's so weird because that's a division that has so many fighters, but on this type of short notice and fighters that make sense, I don't know what they're going to do.
All right, folks, Manscaped is changing the game, the grooming game, with their Perfect Package 3.0. The Perfect Package 3.0 includes their premier lawnmower 3.0 trimmer, this ceramic blade, and skin-safe technology. That's the key, folks, skin-safe technology. Because, yes, you know what I'm talking about, downstairs, below the equator. That's where we're trimming now. They're designed to reduce nicks and tugs on your fellas down low. Goes, I know you've been a fan.
I have. And you know what? Today, I'm speaking to the ladies. Just the ladies. Christmas is coming up. And I got to imagine these little fellas right here fit perfect in the stocking, don't they? These are stocking stuffers. Come on, ladies. We've already spoken to the men. Men can be lazy sometimes. They don't just do the job. They're not the guys that go out there and make these purchases. But you ladies can go out there and you can make the purchase for your man and have it all waiting for him right there. Christmas Day, he opens it up. And that's a Christmas present for both of you, right? Keeps on giving. So for a limited time, subscribers get not one, but two free gifts. The travel bag, which I got right here, which is dope. That's where I keep all my stuff. And the chafing Manscaped boxers, which are pretty cool. They're patented high-performance anti-chafing Manscaped boxers. 20% off, free shipping. And all you got to do is type in Junkie Nation as your code at manscaped.com.
Give your testies the absolute besties. One more time, get 20% off and free shipping with the code JunkieNation at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with the shipping, free shipping, excuse me, at manscaped.com. Use the promo code JunkieNation. Don't get bogged. Trim your hog with Manscaped. All right. We are expecting Kevin Holland here any minute now, UFC middleweight. We're going to talk to him about not only the fight he just had, he's already signed up for another one, but now the names keep getting bigger. And if you can churn those fights out, there's usually a reward. You know what I mean? Jack Hermanson is a guy that I said, if Whitaker couldn't go, Israel Adesanya might have to consider fighting. But he was booked against Darren Till at the time. Well, now he's booked against Kevin Holland. But good on Kevin Holland to stay busy. Remember, goes, this is a guy that was the first fight at Dana White Contender Series a few years ago. And sounds mean, but pissed away his chance to win because he kind of set it in cruise control. He talked a little bit. They gave him the name Big Mouth. And look what he's done since then. Now he's going to be fighting Jack Hermanson. And I mean, he is a viable contender now.
Yeah, keeping busy almost doesn't do it justice. Like, he's beyond that, I think, at this point, right? For 2020, I want to say, wouldn't this be like his fifth or sixth fight? And the first one wasn't even like, you could say, I got one in January 1st or something like that. I think the first one didn't even come till like May or something like that. So for him to stay this busy is pretty remarkable, and to keep winning and sort of I don't know if we're going to get that moment from Dana where he says, all right, I might have messed up that night. But I love that he embraces the nickname Big Mouth, and I love the way he fights. He gives great interviews, so I'm excited to talk to him.
Yeah, no doubt. He'll be joining us soon. Just wanted to give a shout-out to ONE Championship. They had part two of Inside the Matrix this past Friday. In the main event, Kiara Manrion Abasov defeated James Nakashima. So that's your champion there, Abasov, in the middleweight division, which winds up being the welterweight division for us over here. Congratulations to him. Tim Nasty, who I believe may have been the guy that took out Eddie Alvarez, wasn't it, guys?
I think so.
Yeah, he defeated Pieter Buist. So he continues on his winning ways. That's two in a row for him. That's good, especially when one of those is Eddie Alvarez. Over at Bellator on Thursday, it was Bellator 251. Corey Anderson crushed Melvin Manhoff in the main event. Terrell Fortune defeated Said Soma. Austin Vandefort defeated Vinicius De Jesus. Derek Anderson defeated Kelis Mota. Shout out to Georgie Karakanyan, who got a win on the prelims. I kind of thought that was one hell of a mismatch there with Anderson and Manhoff. That was not a shocker, seeing that unfold the way it did.
I thought he'd put up a little bit more of a fight, but yeah, that was as good as you're going to see Corey Anderson fight there. But now the question is, who do you give him next? You know, you can't gradually give him after this. You got to give him some of them tough fighters there, and they have them.
Yeah, no doubt. Bellator will be back, by the way, with another fight card this Thursday. Patricio Pitbull Frady, their champ. He fights Pedro Carvalho. I want to say on this side of the bracket goes, they're still in the quarterfinals of that featherweight Grand Prix. So they still got a ways to go. Daniel Weichel fights Emmanuel Sanchez. Yaroslav Amosov fights Logan Storley. Aaron Pico's on the card. And, you know, we're a few fights removed from Aaron Pico's knockouts. I wonder if because of this pandemic, he might find himself in some sort of a role to get into that Grand Prix late notice if he just keeps winning. Kerry Taylor Melendez also on the card, one of their big stars, slowly moving up in the world. That's Gilbert Melendez's better half.
Yeah, good fighter too.
Yeah, no doubt. So that's on Thursday on CBS Sports. God, it feels good to say that. Bellator, no, you know, just finally we're done with Paramount and Zone. Like those. It's just the inconsistencies and time delays and all that. And CBS Sports Network, I tune in a lot because they have some good shows there. Jim Rome, Tiki and Tierney, Champions League. And you get to see Boomers in the morning, and you get to see constant replays. So that's a great home for them.
You know what Paramount's starting to do? I noticed their strategy. They just take series or movies that have multiple sequels and they pick a day and they just, that's all they do. Like yesterday was all Rocky day. They started at Rocky 1, went all the way through Rocky
5.
Yeah. It's just one after another, all the way to Rocky 5, and then to Rocky Balboa. And then I don't know if they did Creed after that, but, and then I think today is like Jurassic Park day. They just go through all the Jurassic Parks. But it was pretty interesting. Like a nice little strategy.
Anthony Correa from the Bronx in New York. Want to give him a shout out. He reached out to me on Instagram, says he loves the show. He puts it on. We keep fine company, goes. He listens to us and the Joe Rogan Experience. So I just wanted to give him a shout out. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Listening. Yes. Just reached out to Kevin Holland's peeps because he hasn't popped in yet. He'll be worth it, though. Once he pops in, he's usually a pretty entertaining fella. And look, we'll repeat a few of the top points from the top. With Glover Teixeira's win over Thiago Santos, Dana White and Jan Blachowicz are warm to Glover Teixeira challenging Blachowicz for the UFC light heavyweight title and thereby, I guess, phasing Israel Adesanya out. Now, let's remember, folks, of all those names that I just named, those three names, Izzy's kind of the A-side. He's kind of the big name here. I know that might not go over too well with Blachowicz. The last guy that was heavy was told to sit on the couch, fat boy, or something like that. So he may tell me the same thing. But Israel Adesanya is a superstar with options. And we'll see. We'll see how he takes that. I wonder how he just takes hearing that he's getting phased out. I'm telling you, a lot of this just comes down to like, oh, no, you didn't. You know what I mean? Like the ego part of I'm not in control.
I think first things first, we got to see what's actually going on with Glover Teixeira because it was a victory, but he took a lot of damage in that fight. Yes. And I remember when he fought Anthony Smith, I remember thinking it'd be really nice for him to just sit on the shelf for a while. This is a somewhat similar situation where he took a lot of damage, and even he said it himself, he might have something broken in his face. So if that's the case,
He said it twice. Once when he was talking to John Anik in the back, and then he also said it in the press fight conference. He really manned up, and he was smiling and trying to be in a good mood, but he said his face was hurting.
See, that's the type of injury where you got to stay away, not do anything, let it heal, and then jump into a training camp. So that could be a while from now. So if that is true, then this isn't even really – this is all a mute point, and I think that fight can continue. But if he did make it out unscathed, I think a little bit of a break, and then you see those two guys go off.
Goes, look at these names that Glover Teixeira has – is taken care of in his fight win streak. Four are very impressive. Jan Kutalaba, Nikita Krylov, Anthony Smith, Thiago Santos. And guess what? Three of those were finishes. If we go back to Carl Roberson, who's no slouch, by the way, that's four out of five that were finishes. That is pretty solid work from January 19th until November of 2020. What's that? About, I want to say, a year and three-fourths. So less than 2 years, definitely. 5-0. At age 41, we got to give that man his respect.
I mean, Thiago Santos is the guy that took John Jones to his limits. You know, and it was kind of funny. What did you think of John Jones's comments after?
And I didn't see it. What did he say? Was he raining on parades or was he?
A little bit. He was giving Glover his props, but he was also saying, man, if Santos won that fight, then people would be calling him the GOAT and this and that and that. It's just funny, you know, the way all that works out. I think John is just so deep into his character and what he does that even if he does something good, it's probably not enough for people to forget all the bad. So just run with it at this point. But I mean, there's almost not a fight card that can go off without getting some kind of comment from him, right?
I wish I could tell you. To anyone that was hating on John Jones, I wish I could tell you, man, you guys are idiots. You're falling for it. He's carved all this out. He plans these narratives out. You know, he'll shill here and he's a heel here and he's a baby. You guys are fools. You're falling for it. You know, he's already pre-planned this. He's a master planner. That's not the case. John Jones is just a regular dude, man, that he just makes mistakes. He doesn't – if he only knew just how much of a – how much royalty he is in our sport, he doesn't even need to be on social media other than maybe once a week, like GSP or whatever. When they say something, you're like, oh, wow, you know, whatever. But to be out there just trying to make a point and prove a point and battle and this and that. And look, I get into it myself, but I'm not MMA royalty. I'm not an undefeated champion with 11 title defenses. He can be masterful at times, but he can be dumb, you know? And I don't know. I wish he wouldn't do it. I wish he wouldn't do it, especially when it's Khabib and Glover. Two legends of the sport in two different ways. Khabib, because of his accomplishments and everything he's done. Glover, because of his longevity and the amount of great fighters that he's fought, and especially how good he's doing at this time. I think he just needs to back off them. You know, we can all sit here and clown other people here and there. Every fighter gets clowned. Every MMA media gets clowned. So we can do a little bit of that, joking around throughout the fight card as it's getting there. But, you know, a guy like Glover, nah, you don't need to throw any shade at him or anything having to do with this fight. Leave him alone, especially for 24 hours, especially on fight night, man. Give the guy a boost is what I say.
Well, he was nice towards Glover. It's just there are certain fighters in the UFC, and I mean, it's not just UFC. It's in almost every big sporting organization. There's just certain guys that they can't even stand being out of the limelight for a couple seconds.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I would just say congrats to Glover Teixeira. At age 41, I hope to be fighting as good as you, you know. No need to mention that he kicked his ass in Baltimore in 2013 or that he also beat Santos or just do that if you're going to do something. But whatever. Many people will tell you that I'm a jerk on social media too, so I should probably just shut my yap. all right. Still no Kevin Holland at this point. So, one thing I wanted to check.
I do want to say something right quick, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go for it.
I want to send out some positive vibes to Mark the Hammer Coleman to Brian Barberina. Brian Barberina underwent an exploratory surgery that, in the history of ever hearing diagnosis, George, this is one that I understood almost nothing of what they were saying. But looking at the scar, it seemed pretty gnarly. And then Mark the Hammer Coleman had a heart attack, and he's recovering in the hospital. So these are good dudes. I've never known either one of these guys to ever be a jerk or anything. And so shout outs to them and some positive vibes to them.
Mark was incredibly kind to me one time on social media, and in person, he kind of big leagued me once. But I'm going to hold it against him. He's a legend, and I definitely hope for his best recovery. Same with Brian Barberina. And, yeah, I did read about that. It was a heart attack that I guess he said his chest tightened and his arms went numb. But he was still able to call his daughter, tell her what was happening, and also drive himself to the hospital. So I don't know if that's a mild heart attack or if this guy's just a moose and most of us would have succumbed, whereas Mark Coleman's, you know, like I said, some sort of a Iron Man, you know. And they're going to put a stent in one of his arteries and see how things go, you know, but obviously that's for both guys. Goes Islam Makhachev had something a little bit less, something still I wouldn't want, and that staph infection. He's out of his fight versus Rafael dos Anjos. Michael Chandler already was asked about it. He says, no, I got other plans too soon. And Beneil Dariush, that came up. You and I were talking about it, and you correctly pointed out with their teammates. Beneil Dariush, I saw on social media, big picture of him and RDA, because I'm not going there. One of the names could do it and still do it. I don't know. What do you do? Forget about that, goes. What I want to know is if you're Dana White, do you still give me a lightweight? Anybody, put them in there. Drew Dober, Charles Oliveira, make something happen, goddammit, now. Or do you go, that's a great fight. Let's just move it to another card. Sorry, fans. This weekend's card isn't the sexiest one out there. But this is the COVID era. stuff happens. We're trying our best. We ask that you bear with us.
You attempt to fill the spot, but when the first couple dominoes don't hit, I think at some point you abandon ship because it sucks because that card was very, very top heavy. So what you're left with is just not what UFC fans are expecting when they see these cards. But the difference here is you're not trying to sell tickets to this one. So there aren't fans out there with money that they spent to fly to wherever, you know, Vegas or wherever any card is held and then told, now you're left with this. That kind of stings. So in this particular instance,
and you're charging the audience at home a pay-per-view.
Right. So really it's your partner, ESPN, you know, maybe they can look at you and go, hey man, you could do a better job of putting these together or something, but they don't really do it that often. So
the other fights aren't really sexy. What the UFC can say is, hey, do we ever disappoint? They usually don't. Even if they throw 11 fights with no names, I mean, that's almost what Dana White Contender Series is. And I love Dana White Contender Series. It's just some of these cards, they just aren't as good. But I would preserve the matchup, and hopefully they can get done in a week, in a month. Hell, shove it on 255 or 256, and I'm happy. I don't want them to just grab another lightweight off the couch to fight RDA. I'm okay with that, you know. Now, what sucks is RDA is going to go, oh, where's my money? I just did a camp. See what I'm saying? So you can never make everyone happy. I guess you could write them a check and go, look, how much was your fucking camp? 10 grand? 20? Okay, we're going to give you that, but you're not going to get your full purse. All we're asking is for 3 more weeks, 4 more weeks. Boom, we got you an opponent that matters. Because if RDA wins, he can't go, you see, I want him a contender. No, more than likely, they can't give him anyone that'll put him in that status. But I got to believe that someone that's already worn a strap like RDA has, he may just care about money and getting paid.
Yeah. We got someone in the chat that's asking who we think is the MMA GOAT. He's given out two names. It's John Jones and Khabib. You can make that list a little bit longer. I think GSP's name needs to be thrown in there. But then you have other names. And it's funny enough, we're going to talk to one of them today, Demetrius Johnson. Kind of just gets forgotten a little bit, but really what he did was very amazing. But right off the top of your head, George, do you have your name?
Yeah, I do. Quick shout out to Gally from Toronto. It was Jessica I that almost knocked off Leslie Smith's ear in Mexico. Yes, I believe it's George St. Pierre slightly over Khabib Nurmagomedov and John Jones. I'm not saying in that order, but GSP is still my guy, and I'll tell you why. GSP lost twice in his career. He avenged both losses. GSP won two titles, not just one. GSP had 9 title defenses, 2 short of John Jones. But again, he won another weight class, which is what John Jones is kind of trying to do. And if John Jones does, oof, that might squeeze GSP out. GSP had, you know, he had one trilogy rivalry, whatever you want to call it. He won that 2-1 versus Matt Hughes. That was one of the fights that he avenged. He left no doubt in our minds that he ever dabbled in any form of a PED because he passed every single test. And when he won, like we say about Khabib, rarely did he lose rounds. I mean, he crushed people, especially in title fights. And the guys that he fought were incredible, man. Every single person that he fought, John Fitch, Thiago Alves, Josh Koscheck, Jake Shields, they had all worked their way to be clear number one contenders. Carlos Condit, all of them. And I don't think he really ever got like a gimme except for Matt Serra. That sounds mean, not a gimme, but someone who didn't deserve their matchup. Serra won the Ultimate Fighter, and that was what was written in the rules. But he wasn't like a number one, like a top 5, top 10. He wasn't even in the UFC. It was the comeback season. He comes in, he beats Chris Lytle. He's the tough champ, and then he knocks out George St. Pierre. So I've never taken that away from Matt Serra. I just meant someone who won a clear number one contender matchups to get to the number one spot to fight GSP. But he knocked him out. That's a win that has to be respected, and that's why he's a Hall of Famer, Matt Serra is. But anyway, why him over Khabib, who's never lost? Because Khabib only has 3 title defenses, and GSP had 9. Khabib only has a title in one weight class, GSP in 2. why him over John Jones? I said it. John Jones has more title defenses. John Jones had a couple of those. Not, again, we won't call them gimmies, but not clear number one contenders. I think he had more of those than GSP did. And just think about how difficult it is to win a world title and to do it in two weight classes. That to me is amazing. Those champs are a certain level. He did get a little bit more of the easier road, kind of like Connor. Just here you go, you know, fight. But he still had to go in there and beat whoever was champ at the time.
I agree with GSP, but I feel like he's just holding it for either John Jones or Khabib if he chooses to come back. Because with how amazing everything GSP has done has been, I feel like what these other guys are doing is just amazing. I feel like he's just holding on to it for them. And then don't forget, too, another guy that's outside looking in, Henry Cejudo, if he were to come back and just keep on the same pace that he's been on, winning the fights that he's fought, multiple weight classes, and then at some point you even have to throw out his name as possibly being the greatest combat athlete of all time, right? When you throw in an Olympic gold medal. So it's funny, man. This is a conversation that can go on and on, but
We have time, and you made a great point. Cejudo has one title defense in each weight class. Now, that's something that I think only DC did. The other champs did not do that. And he was also a simultaneous champ like Conor McGregor, meaning he held the title at the same time. Same with Amanda Nunes. Amanda Nunes does have a title defense at 45 and 5, I think, at 35. So she's on her sixth. She's got four losses. And so, yeah, if Cejudo were to come back, and he's got the age to do it, it's not like he's over the hill. And maybe I think at that point he would only concentrate on 35, maybe get two more title defenses. He could match GSP in the loss column, not the win column, not the title defense column, but he could match him in the, you know, the two weight classes, and having a title defense in one of them. He'd only have one in the flyweight division, but he has a history in the flyweight division. GSP doesn't have a history in the middleweight division. He just fought one time, won, and bailed. No title defense. So you see what I'm saying? It's like splitting hairs. If John Jones wins at heavyweight, it'll probably be John Jones. If Khabib comes back and wins two or three more times, it might be Khabib. He's unblemished. You know, no PED controversies and no technical losses. So it can go in many ways with Khabib, Cejudo, Jones, and I guess Demetrius is still technically fighting. If he adds to it over there, that's pretty tremendous. He's got a few losses from back in the day, but we're so far removed from him that we judge kind of Demetrius on the last 10 years where he's been an absolute beast. And they can say, he lost to Cejudo. Yeah, but he also beat him. You know, so they're 1-1. I'd love for them to trilogy at some point. I don't know if it's going to happen, but am I missing anyone else? Oh, combat sports athlete. You brought that up. Kayla Harrison's a two-time gold medalist, and she's won a strap at WSOF. Now she's fighting at Invicta. Did you see that announcement?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Invicta, not for a title, but if she can grab a title there and then eventually make her way to the UFC and grab a title there, she has an argument for women's GOAT, and combat sports GOAT, because she teases Henry and says, you won an Olympic title. I came back and won another one. She also, I believe, may have won a world championship. I can't remember. Henry says, well, but I've also won my titles in the UFC. You've won them at PFL, which it's UFC is just deeper, you know? So pretty interesting. I mean, who else is, I mean, Brock Lesnar was a UFC champ. A lot of people might scoff at me saying he was a pro wrestling champion, because pro wrestling does have a lot of champions. It's not as special as it once was. A lot of people become champions, but he was a superstar there. He was a superstar in the world of MMA, you know, making it to a title and title defenses. And let's not forget, he was an NC2A champion as well. So, like I say, you just got to chip in with all these different things that that fighters had done. You know who had a really good argument, Goes?
Well, I do.
Go ahead.
Daniel Cormier, if he would have beat Stipe Miocic.
If he just retires after he beat Miocic, he would have been, I think, 20-1. He would have had title defenses in two different weights. The losses to Jones would have killed him, but if Jones would have lost to Miocic, he would have been part of a round robin. But he still would have had something John Jones didn't, and that's two weight classes. Is that enough to overcome two head-to-head losses? I don't know. Now, somebody by the book might go, one of them went down as a no contest. I don't know. We can go in circles there. But what I was going to bring up was Chris Algieri was a state wrestling champion, a world kickboxing champion, and had he beaten Manny Pacquiao? I can't remember if Pacquiao held a belt at the time and just been able to boast being a boxing world champion. That's pretty amazing. Alistair Overeem was a world K1 max tournament champion. That's as high as you can get in kickboxing. He won the Strikeforce belt, and I guess was it the Dream belt too he had? If he could ever become a UFC champion, he'd have to be in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Some great names, man. Dan Henderson is somebody who gets overlooked, and I'll tell you why. Because they say he never won a UFC title, but he won a tournament title. Back then, they didn't have undisputed titles. You just won a tournament, and those tournaments are pretty highly respected because that's what it was at the time. He won a UFC tournament in the late 90s. Then he was a Pride welterweight Grand Prix champion, a Pride welterweight champion, a Pride middleweight champion, and then he was a Strikeforce light heavyweight champion. He did come up short two times in the UFC, Anderson Silva and Michael Bisping. But he had a lot of skins on his wall. I mean, this is a guy who was basically a middleweight, a 185er, and he won titles at 185, 205, and then he even beat some great heavyweights, including Nogueira and Fedor. That is no joke, folks. Oh, the rings. Can't forget about the rings. He may be the most decorated MMA athlete ever.
Yeah.
He lost about 10 fights or so. But fuck, when you're fighting that many people, I mean, it was just great fighter after great fighter. Great fighter after great fighter. Remember when he lost to Jake Shields? That was for the middleweight title at Strikeforce. He could have been a champ in that organization as well.
Mm-hmm. He's a beast.
If he gets the UFC title over Bisping, he would definitely be the most decorated MMA athlete ever. And some could make the argument as far as a GOAT of some sort because of the fact that he fought all the weight classes. He had so many titles. I mean, do not ever dismiss my man Dan Henderson. I'm just glad he has all his marbles, Goes, because he's fought some beasts over the years. And when we visited him in Temecula, I mean, he looked like he was fine, sense of humor, and he's already moving on, successful gym. And then that idea he had for the promoting some fights. And what was it going to be, like a wine bar steakhouse?
Yeah, but from the – so just picture a building being split, not really in half, but maybe 75-25. But they had this like observation room where from the restaurant bar area, you could look into the gym where you would be able to see the fights, which would, we got to catch up with them and find out what happened with that.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to say with the holidays coming up and us going to visit mom and dad, and our parents live about 30 minutes away from Dan Henderson, that might be a good time, but the pandemic just... It messes everything up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I imagine we'll be able to see our parents one time during this. But, folks, COVID, no joke. Highest number of infections, not highest number of deaths, but deaths are up there. Infections are up there. Take care of yourselves. Take care of others. We're going through, I don't know if it's just one big wave or the second wave, but more infections means there's more people that have it, obviously. And that also means there's a lot more people that have it that don't know they have it. So that's all I'll say. I'll leave it at that. Just be careful. That's all I want. I don't want you guys to be infected. We know a lot of people that have been infected. And they said it's, you know, they recovered, but fuck, they were miserable. It was horrific. Goes. You got to make an executive decision. Kevin Holland can do it now. Are we in? We're going to go a little long. Okay, let me let him know.
But you know what I had thought about doing? Because I didn't want to strike out here on Sportscaster. I was going to say, if we didn't do it, we just come back and do the interview as a separate, you know?
What do you mean?
So, like, if he did, if he couldn't show up today or at, right now, then later on, if he says 1 p.m., then we come back at 1 p.m. and we do the interview live. But we do it on Sportscaster. Yeah.
Do we have that option? Yeah, right? We can hop on.
Yeah.
I want to do another Man U watch along.
Jeez. Hope it's a Champions League game.
Hey, they beat Everton, and Everton was at the top at one point. So in Everton, down 1-0. And they played Champions League Wednesday in Turkey, folks. They had to travel back from Turkey all the way back to Manchester and then play at Saturday at noon. I mean, that's a horrific turnaround time. To play at night in Turkey and then fly and probably get home early morning on Thursday, your legs, man, they are shot, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was a huge, huge win. Now, that said, it was disappointing that they lost in Turkey. The group that we're in, it's a four team group. We had taken out the top two teams. The last team took us out. We're so inconsistent. It's frustrating, but what are you going to do? It's just this long rebuild. Did you see that? There was a stat that showed Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and his stats are Klopp. No, ahead of Klopp. And look what Klopp's done in the last couple of years. Two Champions League finals, a Champions League win, and a Premier League win. And they've been very competitive in the Premier League. So it took them a few years, but Klopp's been a beast. So are we being a little too impatient? And Klopp's gotten great support from his executives, the money people, whereas Solskjaer, I don't think has. We may just have to be stuck and believe in the system, you know, and see what happens. But that's not the way it worked at Manchester United. Manchester United, since like early 90s to like 2012, like bagged 15 titles, man. Just the Premier League title. They won. They three-peated, they won trebles, they won two Champions League since then. I mean, it was an amazing run. We were spoiled. So it's kind of like what the Patriots did, I guess, in a way. Patriots did it. What, Brady's been in the league about 20 years? 18 years?
18, I think, yeah.
And guess what, Goes? He got demolished yesterday. Did you see that?
Yeah.
And the New Orleans Saints went to Tampa. 38-3, I think, was the final. That's horrific.
It was like 30-0 at one point, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. That is horrific for them to get squashed like that. I mean, 3 points? Come on, man. You got some good receivers. They got Gronkowski. They got some decent running backs. How does that happen? And on grass, usually the Saints aren't as potent as on their turf at home.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the Washington football team? I really don't know. It's not a setup. Did they win or lose?
They lost.
They lost to the Giants?
Yeah, they were losing kind of big at the beginning. They lost their quarterback, though, with pretty bad injury. And then old Alex Smith, and he played really well, actually. But they ended up losing.
Oh, you see USC? You see that comeback?
Yeah.
What, 2 touchdowns like in 6 minutes? And one was like a tip drill. USC hasn't been the USC. That's the USC of old, where they would come back and win games like that. But hopefully that points them in the right direction. ASU should have won that game. But I'll take it, man. I'll take it. We've been on the raw end of some wins. Man, yeah. If USC could do something and continue the L.A. dominance, first the Lakers, then the Dodgers, that'd be incredible. But I don't think they got the horses to do it. I don't think the Rams have the horses to do it. I'm not a Rams fan, but it would make it interesting. Or the Chargers. They're both, I guess, L.A.-based.
There's a couple of people that have said, I think our dad is one of them, that they're just not into sports right now because there's no fans. But a game like the USC game with Arizona State, you forget about that really fast, man. And you realize just how much you've been missing sports when games like that go down, or even some of the World Series games that were pretty amazing. Granted, in the World Series, they did have some fans, but
you gave me the right link?
What?
You sure you gave me the right link?
Yeah, I can give it to you again, though. Or just copy it from invite down here at the bottom. But yeah. Yeah, it's a good time, sports-wise. College basketball is coming up, though. That's where I get fired up.
He's got the right link.
But our season got cut short, two extra games now. Basketball, college basketball.
Two games?
Yeah, it went from 20 to 18, so they have to cut out two non-conference.
That's not bad. They, I think by the end, you know, by the end of March Madness, teams are, if you go undefeated, you're like 35-0. So if you only went 33-0, that's still a good season. Mm-hmm. All right. He's going to be joining us in just a sec here. Kevin Holland, we'll be right back.
The Sneak is a true crime podcast from For the Win in USA Today, and this season is on a surfing champion whose life took a violent, tragic turn.
Within 30 seconds, they're both dead.
The Sneak, Murders at Whiskey Creek, is out July 29th, wherever you get podcasts.
There he is, folks. UFC middleweight Kevin Holland on a tear. He just beat Charlie Ontiveros on Halloween. It was Charlie Ontiveros' this Friday night. And guess what? He's back. He's going to be fighting the Joker, Jack Hermanson, on December 5th. How you doing, Kevin Holland?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. Not bad. How about you guys?
Good, man. Thanks for joining us here on Junkie Radio. I love your activity of fighting, staying busy, and now you've got the one fight that will make everyone know that, hey, this guy can compete for the title. There's no more, well, now you need to beat this guy, and now you need to be that guy. Jack Hermanson's a top-ranked fighter, a big name. This is a huge fight for you. I'm glad you took it.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy I took it, too. You know, I was in that Darren Stewart fight. I was saying I thought I was fighting Darren Till. Look, now Darren Till got hurt, and I'm taking Darren Till's spot. So that's pretty cool, you know. Wish Darren Till a speedy recovery, though.
Did you have to think twice about it, or were you healthy and ready to go? Because, like I said, you've been fighting pretty frequently, and this is a pretty big fight.
Yeah, I was actually – they were like kind of like saying the next fight had to be like a top 15 type guy. So I was like, let's just go ahead and let them know I'll take anybody. I messaged Mick Maynard and was like, yo, what's up with Yoel Romero? You know what I mean? That's just the way to let them know. You'll take anybody in the top 15. And he's hurt. So all of a sudden, the next day, you know, call it a nice little birthday gift. They say, you want to fight Jack? And I'm like, yes, of course. Of course. Why not? Favorite superhero is Batman. This guy's name is Joker. Let's do it.
Perfect. I love it. So you've won four in a row. You've won seven of your past eight. And now you're 11-2 in your last 13. So you got formidable streaks going. You've proven yourself. You know, this activity has just kept your name out there, man. To what do you attribute this to? Like, you're very durable, you know, because some of your fights have gone to a decision. Some of your fights, you have taken some shots, but you just keep answering the phone and you're ready to go. I guess at 28, maybe some of it, you know, you being in your youth has to do with it too.
Shout out to my mama and my papa for good genetics. Shout out to my grandparents for raising a hard worker. And then, you know, shout out to my coaches for keeping me on the ball and making sure I'm technically sound. You know, I'm technically sound so I can go and I can fight anybody, you know, anytime. I'm going to defend myself. My kung fu, black belt level, jiu-jitsu, black belt level, unless I'm getting choked out by Brandon Allen or Lovato, it's usually pretty freaking good, you know. So let's go test it against Jack. And just the ability to stay going all the time. It's, like I said, good genetics, raised by good grandparents, and my coaches keep me busy. They keep me working. So it works out.
Here's one other thing you missed. I think basically you got the game beat in the sense that when you're in there, it happens in slow motion. And no one really gets it's not that you've never taken a clean shot, but they're rare. Because, again, you don't panic. You see the game in slow motion. you're very calm, and I think you're basically, you don't really seem to me to have the nerves of competing against somebody else and losing. And I think you've conquered that. And a lot of fighters, even the great ones, they don't always conquer that. They have those little fears that eat them up.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's pretty cool. I never thought about it like that, but that sounds pretty good. I like that. We're going to use the way you set it up for now on.
You know it, man. All right, Goz, what do you have for Kevin Holland, also known as Big Mouth?
Hey, Kevin, all these fights put together, it's an impressive run. But looking back at them, do they all feel different to you, or when you look back at them, do they just blend in together?
It's all part of the process. You know, it's the job. So kind of like in a way, they're all different, but they all kind of go together. You know, they all build you for where you get to on the next day, on the next spot, and the next time, and the next time after that. So, you know, it's, you know, I guess they go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. They all go hand in hand. Practice, fighting, they all go hand in hand.
All this seems like it's happened so quickly for you. Do you ever feel like you went from being the new guy to, do you already feel like that established veteran in the back? Because you've had quite a few UFC fights now.
Yeah, I got with the UFC, what, into 2018, into 2017, something like that, right? So it's like, I feel like I've been there for some time now, a couple of years, you know? And then it's like, I have a lot of fights underneath my belt, you know, not just UFC, but fights overall, you know? And it's like, so it seems, for some people, it may seem pretty fast because they weren't, you know, they didn't pay attention to the whole career. For me, it feels like, you know, been wanting this forever and it's just finally coming to fruition. You know, it's happening for me, but, you know, like I said about my family, all my family put in the work before me. So it's not just me, you know, finally getting this, it's everybody getting this, you know. So the more I succeed, the more we all succeed. And that's just the way I look at it.
When you look at Jack Hermanson's game and everything he brings to the table, was there one thing that stands out over the rest? Something that impresses you?
Grappling. He's a good grappler. You know, I hear he had a Greco-Roman background from what somebody on my team was saying. And you know, he has a phenomenal heel hook he pulled off against, if I'm not mistaken, I think Kevin Gastelum's a black belt as well in jiu-jitsu, right? Or he's pretty up there in the 10th planet system. And, you know, he submitted some pretty decent guys. So, I mean, his grappling is phenomenal, you know? So just go try it out. Get on the ground, squirm you around a little bit, see what's up with it.
Why do you have like a seatbelt at the top of the roof of your car? How's that back there?
Got one on that side. Got one on that side.
Are you in Baja, Mexico, on one of those 4Runners or something that might flip over? So you need to buckle in from the top or what?
Nah, it's for the back seat. I had to readjust it for the back because I got all those systems and shit back there, so I couldn't really.
All right.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Damn. All right. So it gets pretty loud in that bad boy, huh?
It gets pretty loud up in there. It gets pretty loud up in there. I don't ride with the music that loud, so it's really overkill for me. But that's how the car came, and I like it. So it's pretty cool.
What kind of a car is it?
It's a 68 Impala.
God damn. That's sick. Okay. Hey, last question. That's the Joker. Your man is Batman. What in your utility belt will it take to take out the Joker?
The sniper. The straight right hand. If I touch Jack enough times that straight right hand, he will go to sleep. Or my elbow, or my left hand. And it's like, don't get it mistaken. You know, I'm not going to put it in my head because then I'll go out there trying to do it. But I can submit Jack. Don't ever get it twisted. I'm well-rounded, you know. If Jack gets me to the ground and humps me and somehow gets the win that way, we all know that's the way to win. You're not going to hit me and put me to sleep. You're not going to outstrike me. You're not going to do a lot of those things that you might do to somebody else. You know, I'm not Jacare, you know, and it's like, I'm not David Branch, you know, it's like, I'm none of those other guys, you know, and it's like, the right hand would be the sniper. The one in the utility belt would be the right hand. If I throw anything at him with the right hand enough times, he will fall. Mark my words.
Hey, one last thing. Did you see Andre Feely versus Bug Nasty?
I didn't get a chance to watch it. I actually didn't get a chance to watch it. I think I was doing interviews in the back when they were fighting, so I didn't get a chance to watch it.
Feely, even though he got beat, I was impressed with how much he worked on takedown defense and submission defense, and it allowed him to be there standing at the very end. Even though he didn't get the decision, I just loved his overall game plan. These some of these grapplers are really, really tough. But like I say, you know, you definitely have a good grappling game as well. You've shown us that. And it was June of 2018 when you joined the UFC. So 10 fights in a year and a half. And if I go even 5 fights further, you're 16-3. You know, going back almost 20 fights. Impressive run, Kevin Holland. Also quick through too, man. Watching you through, I think one was a Bellator, LFA, Dana White Contender Series, and now the UFC. Love following your career.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate that tremendously. Yeah, it's been a fun ride. It's been a fun ride, and it's just getting started. That's the crazy part about it. You know, it's like I got 25 professional fights in mixed martial arts underneath my belt. You know, it's like I want to see the 50 number somewhere in there. It's like, so let's do it.
It's a great story. He didn't make it on Dana White Contender Series, and now look at him fighting the top guys at middleweight division. Even Dana White's got to sit back and go, ooh, I blew it. I should have got him in there one day, but whatever.
Or be Nah. He did it the right way. You know, I didn't want to be like the rest. You know, everybody, you know, I was like, I went into the Contender Series fight wanting my check. Everybody went in there like, I got to get a contract. I was like, I'm going to get a check, impressively get a check, and then they'll call me when they need me. And they called me when they needed me.
All right. And I guess it worked out. Thanks for the time. Great catching up with you.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys. Have a good one, man. Sorry for being late again.
No worries. See you. We got it done.
All right.
Later. All right, folks. There you have it. Kevin Holland. And with that, we're going to bounce on out of here. Hopefully you enjoyed our Monday show. We'll be back on Thursday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, live with another edition of MMA Junkie Radio. Keep it locked on MMA Junkie throughout the week. We're covering Bellator on Thursday, UFC on Saturday. And don't forget our video franchises of Spinning Back Click and Rankings Report. You'll see Goz and I doing some work there with the video team. So check it out. We are out of here, folks. Go out there and be a champion.